The 1-900 Wrestling Program brought to you as always by patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Join our community. Please get access to our Discord. It was maybe my favorite part of SummerSlam yesterday was hanging out with all of the good brothers and sisters here in our 1-900 Wrestling Discord. It's my favorite way to experience wrestling. So many great opinions. None of the spam. None of the nonsense. Just a great group of like-minded, fun people who enjoy wrestling. And GOAT, who doesn't enjoy wrestling, but we can make fun of him because he likes The Happening, the M. Night Shyamalan film. It's a great time. Join us, won't you? Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 1-900 Wrestling. A very special episode, of course, because SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver, they were all yesterday, and they were pretty good. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of things happened. Titles changed. Careers were altered. Our reign of terror is finally over. The ending for which we all knew from the moment the Shield split up has now finally come to fruition as Roman Reigns is your champion. But of course, to talk about all this, my friend, my confidant, my tag team partner, Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm just I'm waiting for the inevitable heel turn that everybody keeps talking about from everybody, apparently. Everybody was supposed to turn heel last night. And yeah. Even the person who tried to turn heel maybe didn't succeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I had a good time watching SummerSlam yesterday. I was working. I posted a picture in our Discord of my situation. My original plan was I was going to take my Roku and bring it in and then try to, you know, get one of the TVs in the bar with, you know, attached to my Roku and getting WWE Network on it. But all the cables are so tucked back that they're just so hard to access.
Oh my God. So this is so funny because this used to be a part of my job when I would do the Go game. And so they would oftentimes have the ending at a bar. And so the first thing I would try to do is just directly plug in my HDMI to a large enough screen where I could do it. But I got so good at unpacking bar and I would start to judge bars for how loosely they would allow their cabling.
Yeah, you're like, dude, anyone can just get at this stuff.
It's so like I didn't even.
My bar is apparently great at it because it's impossible to get to it.
Because some like, are like they got like boxes and stuff, and they're like restricting the ability to get into the HDMI. So I assume you have a well-run establishment that is not going to allow any hooligan to throw their shit on the screen.
No, it's going to be very like, yeah, if you're trying to, you know, show your Dunder Mifflin commercial, it's not going to be as easy as popping into DVD.
No,
it's like basically you can't even move the TV to access what's behind it.
Yeah.
Right. So the only way to access everything is to reach under and do everything through feel through a tiny like hole. It's not big enough for my arms.
You have no idea how much this is bringing back memories. I have done that. It's like, is that HDMI or is that USB?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Am I looking at HDMI? Is this, what is this? Is this this is some XLR? What do we got going on here? my 26-inch pythons couldn't fit through the hole there. So I had to instead go for my backup plan, the B team, as it were, which is undefeated. And that is the iPad sitting on top of the bar, and I was just watching it that way. So, unfortunately, I couldn't show it to all my patrons, but luckily it was a pretty slow night. I was able to sit and actually watch most of it, unfortunately, I couldn't have, like, the sound up very loud because it's, you know, it's not even,
it's still
even
a bar.
With the sound pretty low, when Paul Heyman came out, everyone was like, what are you watching?
Yeah.
Because he's just that loud. But, so, my experience was not 100% pure. it's tainted by having to get up and make a margarita from time to time. So there was a few things that I missed. I turned around and the Kevin Owens Braun match was over.
Yep.
I turned around and the, what else did I miss? I was posting about it in the Discord, but there's a few matches that just suddenly were, they happened. And
yeah.
I missed the whole thing.
Yeah. Constable Corbin and, Finn Balor. Ended. I think Finn's entrance was longer than the match.
Yeah. By the way, I love that because I want the Demon to be, it's the way they treat it. It's silly, but this is what I love about wrestling. It's like, oh, he's put face paint on.
Yeah.
Oh God. But if he actually then wrestles differently, then it's awesome. It makes sense, right? Like, it's more of a mental thing, and the face paint is part of it. But, so, like, sometimes I felt like he came out, and it's like, oh, the Demon Finn Balor, who wrestles exactly like Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. And if you do it too often, it's a thing. I think that was the other problem, was that they became, as soon as he used it for the first takeover, it was like, oh, is this just what you do for pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's not like somebody has to beat it out of you or you become this other person. But yeah, no, I thought that was like, hey, look, nobody gave a rat's ass about that match. I thought the build for that match was kind of balls poop. But you want to know what? And this is the one thing in our Discord. We saw a lot of people that were like, oh, man, I understand. Me and you specifically, all the... Every wrestling podcaster on the planet, most likely, has either a few pounds to lose or a beard, right? I think both you and I can probably at various times count ourselves in for both. We're going to love Kevin Owens. There's an element of Kevin Owens for which we feel connected to. And all I'd say is this. Yes, I would have preferred a better, more fun Kevin Owens-y kind of match where he's outsmarting Braun and Braun's like obviously this big buzzsaw that's being hoodwinked by the smarter Kevin Owens. But I also wanted to be done watching wrestling within a 4-hour time frame. And I was fine with that match. If there were going to be squashes, that's fine. It's okay. Let's move it along.
Yeah. When there's 13 matches on a card. Some of them need to be squashes.
Yeah. Specifically when you want to get
But the squashes have to do, they have to serve a purpose, right? And I think that these did. I think they both of them did. They made the Demon suddenly a thing again that is to be feared, right? Because when he comes out, he will be more aggressive. They made Braun look like a complete monster again, which I think we've seen him now lose in some weird matches where we're like, wait a minute. You told me he was a monster. He gets F5'd one time and he's, pinned.
Yeah.
So just him just destroying a guy like Kevin Owens. I would like to see Kevin Owens bounce back though in a big way, because I do agree that it does suck that it's him who has to get.
So the rumors are, if you are going to a house show, that the advertised match is Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens.
Oh, interesting.
So we might see him not only bounce back, but bounce back into the title picture.
Sure.
Tonight.
I hope that he at least is credible in that, though. I don't want to see, because if you think about Kevin Owens when he first came in, he like beat John Cena, right? And you're just like, oh man, like push to the moon, here we go. And then he's done some amazing stuff since. And then he's now kind of just become a little bit of a joke lately. And but again, in wrestling, like I think people act like if you get the brakes put on a little bit, or if you kind of like fall to the wayside for a while, like there's no coming back from that. Yeah. And that's clearly not true.
Well, you can't have it both ways. All anybody wants to do, make them special. It's like, okay. But if we're going, and you can disagree with who they make special, and maybe you think that somebody else deserves it. But if you want somebody to be made special, it means some people are going to have to lose. And more so, it means some people might not be on the card.
Sure.
I
look at a guy like Dolph Ziggler, who had a fantastic match. A lot of people are saying that they will assume that this will get the most stars from Meltzer. This match, which opened the main show, by the way, Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. They had 22 minutes to go at each other. It was great.
And they earned.
And it felt very like New Japanish to me, didn't it? Like, slow build, all of a sudden crescendo is a lot of back and forths, false finishes, then
and,
a sequence
and, like,
where a finishing
insane, move is insane, that move is so bizarre, I don't know if it's either the most safe or the most dangerous thing I've ever seen.
Sure.
Like that inverted superplex, whatever the hell that he rolled into, the other, like the inverted Falcon Arrow or what, I guess it wasn't a Falcon, it was a sidewalk slam. Like just, that's Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, we are privileged to watch him on the level that we watch him.
He's being a badass right now and pretty much anything they put him in. And like we always knew he could be. You know, it's so funny. We're so far removed from dirty heel J&J security Seth Rollins at this point.
Yeah.
But, man, I loved him then so much, too.
Oh, God. But that laugh. Shithead Dean Ambrose Seth Rollins.
I was waiting for him.
That was always the best. All right. So, geez, we are all over the place.
We're all over the place. We should probably organize this just a little bit.
Do you want to start with NXT?
Yeah, let's start with TakeOver.
What stood out to you on NXT?
Ricochet, Adam Cole.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
I mean, everything stood out to me on NXT. It was a fantastic show all the way through. I did not watch the pre-show, so I didn't see the Pete Dunne or Bianca Belair matches. But I heard that they were also fantastic. And Pete Dunne is still UK champion.
Yeah.
So cool. But Ricochet, Adam Cole, I definitely expected Adam Cole to win this match. I thought they just gave him the North America title. He's probably going to hold it for a little while. Ricochet is like a guy who still is going to have some shine on him, whether he wins or loses, right?
Sure.
He's going to be fine. They want Adam Cole to be, this mega superstar. And then Ricochet wins. And it was a badass how he won. Like, he kicked out of all Adam Cole's shit.
Yeah.
He, he hit his, what is it, a 640?
Is it a 620?
It's 2.5 rotations. Something like that. I don't know. Sammy Guevara does this move as well as his finisher. But anyway, it's insane. It's crazy that a person could do that just off of the top ropes.
The spot of the match.
6:30.
6:30. The spot of the match was him. Oh, yeah, was Ricochet moonsaulting into getting super kicked in the neck.
Super kicked in the neck.
Usually
what they do is they show it again in slow motion and then speed up the impact to hide the fact that there wasn't any real impact. It was some real impact. I was like, oh, that. His neck doesn't feel good after that.
Yeah, that's getting kicked in the neck. Like, that's there's no, like, way that...
You didn't pretend to get kicked in the neck.
Well,
you
also,
just got
beyond,
kicked in the neck.
Beyond, oh, did he really slap him or did he pull the punch and yada, yada, yada. But beyond all that, the amount of time that you have, the window...
Yes.
...is like... It's like whenever, did you ever watch those old Ron Jaworski, like NFL films? It was on like Sunday morning or whatever. And he's like, look at the window that Bob Greasy has to throw into. That's a tight window. This is like such a tight window.
Yeah.
How does he kick him in the neck with such a little time?
And you can't practice this spot. Like they can't go to the performance center and be like, all right. Let's do this like 20 times. You moonsault and I'll kick you in the neck and we'll just practice it until we get it right. Like, no, you just come up with the idea and then you do it and you got one chance and they pulled it off perfectly. It just kind of shows just how good these two guys are.
Yeah.
Everything they pulled off. You'd expect a lot of botches in a match like this because they were trying so much. You would expect something somewhere to look awkward.
Well, and because
it didn't.
They don't have a crazy long history together because Ricochet wasn't in Ring of Honor. You know, I'm sure that they have wrestled because they have both had very distinguished indie careers.
Yeah, I mean, they both like PWG and all that kind of stuff, just all the indies that you do outside of your main stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like they worked like a program for 6 months or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm sure they've crossed paths before. I've not seen it. I expected it to be great, and it was better than expected,
which is crazy. Adam Cole
is
also, it was kind of an amazing match because Ricochet is somebody for whom you expect a lot, and then he does more. And Adam Cole is somebody that you look at, and you're like, all right, he's got a catchphrase. He's obviously like a big talking piece of shit. Like, so you get, it's like, oh, that's why he's a star. And then he's like way better than you expect by just looking at him. Like he is at the level of Roderick Strong or Kyle O'Reilly, but he's got
he's
such a
big
bigger
spot
personality.
Machine. Like he just does big spots and does them all well. And every single time it's, you're just like, oh yeah, you could do that too. Okay. Wow. So every time I see him, I'm like even more impressed with him. And I get why he's got the rocket strapped to him right now as far as NXT.
Now, the reason why he doesn't have the title, in NXT, the titles have way more to do with how much longer you're going to be in NXT than they have to do with whether or not they deserve, you know, to be on one person or another.
I don't expect him to move up yet, though. I do expect to see him in the NXT championship picture first at some point because... You know, and I don't know if that's not like the next thing, but I don't know. I mean, like, I think Undisputed Era is just so strong right now.
I mean,
now.
They are, but yes and.
Yes and.
Keith Lee's right there. Matt Riddle got announced. Like, it's not like they are hungering for
it's
talent.
True.
There is still, and who knows what happens with Gargano and Ciampa if you know, the fact that Ciampa wins might suggest that Gargano's leaving because I don't know how you do.
I don't think they do another one of those matches. I think that story has.
Well, because they didn't want to do that match.
No, I know. Yeah, the Aleister Black injury kind of, you know, forced their hand a little bit. It's kind of this is what's amazing about NXT, by the way. Let's talk about this for a second. The Aleister Black injury forces them to just take a left turn from what they were doing, and yet they just magically get that right, too. Like,
well.
The whole thing in the parking lot.
What I just love, because here's the thing. So Hideo Itami gets injured, and they shoot this thing of Kevin Owens walking by him in the parking lot and saying, like, up.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's a shame, right? So I assume they were probably hoping, well, you want to know what? If there's one guy in the company, if there's one guy in NXT that Vince is not going to want, it's the fat guy in basketball shorts. Like, we can bet on Kevin Owens staying down here for a year, and we'll be able to pay off something with Hideo Itami. And then a month later, he beats John Cena clean in the middle of the ring, right? So who knows? And so this time, you could just tell, like, oh, fuck. We're going to try and pay this off somewhere, or maybe we won't, and maybe we just want to leave this for whoever's on the main roster when Aleister Black gets up there. So it's like, let's just have everybody in the roster possibly have done it. We are not like the women, the men, doesn't matter. Like you are going to be able to pay off Aleister Black's injury at some point. Somebody will have to pay for this.
Whether you get to a payoff or not, it's already paid off just in the like, you know, like hard copy style, like analyzing of this tape that they've been doing. It's so good.
Yeah, no, it is the who shot Mr. Burns of NXT angles. It is so good.
It's ridiculous and amazing all at the same time, and I love it. Like just the fact that for some reason, I mean, I get it. All wrestlers hang out in their ring gear at all times. I understand that. But usually they have a locker room, right? NXT is not doing very well when they're all just milling around in a parking lot.
And I love, like, there was this weird... God, we could spend the entire episode on these pets because they're so good. But, like, it's this weird, almost, like, short film kind of thing because everybody's acting kind of weird. Like, the Undisputed Era is driving off without making eye contact. Ricochet doesn't have his shirt on in the parking lot for some reason.
Well, he's leaving, but leaving in his ring gear.
Leaving in his ring gear. Heavy Machinery or I saw a great Twitter thread just breaking
Cassius
down.
Cash Ohno's trying to have sex with Gargano's wife, apparently. Like, that's happening.
There's, like there was, like, this breakdown of everybody's motivations and whether or not they were guilty. And it was just, like, Heavy Machinery is apparently the Logan Paul of NXT filming a dead body for their YouTube channel. Like,
and I love the camera guy. He's like, what's happening? What's happening? And he's like, there's literally just a police barricade where he can walk around it and clearly go over to exactly what's happening. But he keeps trying to look over a little hedge.
Yeah.
And he can't quite see. And you're like, dude, literally right next to you is a pathway to exactly what's happening. The whole thing was just amazing. Like, everything about it. This is one of the things I love about these types of things that when they're done like this, is they feel like what you and your friends did in high school with like your camcorder, you know, you're like, let's come up with something. And it wasn't a lot planned. You just had a general sense of it. And then you just kind of let things happen. Right. It's like shooting Curb Your Enthusiasm. They're like, here's the scene. And you guys all figure it out. It just works so well.
I only hope that they went the extra mile and they filmed Aleister Black taking 30 chair shots from 30 different NXT stars so they can fully pay it off. They can just find the missing footage for any one of them. They're all giving him, and he had to take a different chair shot for each one.
Please tell me that that's what happened. That's shooting multiple endings for a series. Oh God, that's great.
So Aleister Black was not a part of it. What did you think of Gargano Ciampa 3?
Oh, it was fantastic, because this really did kind of finish the story to me, in that at this point now, Gargano has become the thing he hates, right?
Yeah.
Like, he is Ciampa now. He's removing the knee pad to really inflict the pain. He's, you know, he's handcuffing him. He's going, like, he's just brutalizing him at this point. And, like, revenge has overtaken his mind so much that it causes him to lose the match. And Ciampa is like, you know, come out on top. People were saying that this is somehow a double turn. I don't know. Ciampa's still a big piece of shit.
No. Ciampa's the biggest piece of shit. He's a coward. Yeah. He's an asshole. He deserves everything he gets. My only problem with it, and this is why I would have loved, obviously, to have seen what they would have done with Aleister Black, because I think he would have added a little bit, because effectively the Ciampa Gargano thing is the same story that we saw in the second match. Like, Ciampa or Gargano lost the second match because he succumbed to the darkness. He loses this match because he further succumbs to the darkness, except he kind of came out scarred.
This is like where it really, it got him more than just the match loss, right? Like, he's physically injured now.
Yeah.
So and injured. This is like Luke losing his hand and then realizing that he's got a little machine hand there and he's becoming Darth Vader. You know what I mean? Like the same knee is now injured on Gargano that Ciampa was, right? Like, that's, I think, the finishing portion of this story that goes a little further beyond. But you're right. I mean, it is essentially a retelling, just at a, like, to the nth degree
of what
they've already done.
It's like, look, it's great. They're great. They've had the matches of the years. I think, you know, when we really look back on it, it's going to be stuff that Kenny Omega did, stuff that happened in the G1, and Ciampa Gargano. Like they have told that level of amazing, insane storytelling. So mazel to both.
Yeah. The thing is, I think we all expected it to be good, and then it was really good, and it was like, it wasn't what Ricochet and Adam Cole did, which I think you know, went above and beyond, right? I gotta give a shout out. Velveteen Dream finally gets a win at a takeover.
Yeah.
I just tweeted about, you know, looking forward to his New Japan run, you know, after, because he's kind of, it was, you know, and I don't really believe that's what's gonna happen. I think he's like a WWE guy for life, but you know, it was very like Juice Robinson-esque what was happening, right? He's like the guy who puts everybody over because he can and he's still fine. And then at some point you get kind of tired of putting everybody over, right? And then you go on to have amazing success in New Japan. But I don't think that's really what's going to happen. It was just kind of comparing him
to Juice. I think he's far further along than Juice was, though. That dude's 22 and he's a star.
Yeah.
STAR, all caps.
And he keeps bringing something different in every match. I mean, call me up, Vince.
By the way, did you hear that Triple H didn't know about those tights and saw it on the hard cam for the first time? So Triple H said, apparently, he's like, yeah, I wasn't aware. I saw it on TV like everybody else. I told him when he came back, hey, tip me off to some of this stuff before you do it. There's some calls that you do want from Vince, and there's some calls you don't want from Vince. So you know,
that's
keep
hilarious.
That in mind.
And you know what, though? Man, if anybody's trying to grab a brass ring, it's the guy putting Call Me Up Vince on his butt. Yeah, it was awesome. He continues to bring something different every time. We had this time, we had the Dream Valley Driver.
Yeah.
On the apron, followed by the elbow on the apron, which was awesome. And I was like, when he hit those, I was like, how is EC3 going to kick out of this so that Velveteen Dream loses again? And I'm like, okay, good. Yeah. Thank God he didn't kick out of that.
And by the way, talk about those two guys. Those two guys are in line for the championship. So
yeah, no, exactly. They're next up, I think.
If you did lose Adam Cole and Aleister and a few of those guys, it's not like they're going to be hurting for talent. I mean, it's like Mauro Ranallo said when they did the Matt Riddle shot, you know, the rich get richer, and there is no shortage. I mean, when you look and say, hell, Tyler Bate could make a run with the NXT championship.
I know.
Dunne could make a run with the NXT championship.
Now, we haven't even talked about that match, which was also friggin' amazing.
They
and just
get a
nonstop
burning
action.
Hammer! The most dangerous move in professional wrestling, if you're unaware, is called the burning hammer. It is not done in WWE. The first time that it was done in recent memory was during the Cruiserweight Classic. Brian Kendrick hit it. And then they did a tag team version of it on TakeOver, and they kicked out. But it's like, it is a move not done in WWE because it literally breaks necks. It's got a history of neck breakage. But that match was amazing. War Machine obviously has stepped up and the War Raiders have stepped up and made their presence known.
Yeah, they're coming for Undisputed Era. And that, you know, what's interesting is we've seen that they can tell the story of big guys versus little guys pretty well in NXT. At the time, Ciampa and Gargano versus Authors of Pain, right?
Yeah.
So
the Ascension versus the Lucha Dragons. I mean, obviously the Lucha Dragons are like very small.
And the Ascension is not that big.
They're not that big, but in NXT, the way that they were, way that they were put forward, they were portrayed as that.
Man, that seems so long ago. They were the champs for like over a year in NXT.
Oh yeah, they would
like
squash.
To the point where people were like sick of them. Right?
They would squash everybody, and they were over with their "Yah" chant.
You know what I was just thinking about? You know who we haven't seen yet is what's his name? The dude who we saw at Wrestle Circus, who's also signed NXT right now. Big dude is going to have like a Russian gimmick. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Chat probably knows. Like Keith Lee, I've already seen, and I haven't seen. Man, now I'm trying to find his name. But you're right. Like there's so much damn talent.
Oh, Donovan Dijak.
Yeah, Dijak. We haven't seen him. Like, where is he? What's
He's
going on?
Waiting in the wings.
Yeah, but that's great because like that guy is amazing.
And by the way, it's like you want to know the two best matches from WrestleMania a couple years ago on the indies or in the indie shows were Donovan Dijak versus Keith Lee and Keith Lee versus Ricochet. You guys, there will be a takeover that will feature a Keith Lee Ricochet match. Listen to me now. Believe me later on.
Sure.
This will blow your mind when you see Ricochet. Because even against Adam Cole, my one problem with Ricochet, and this is nitpicking, right? But it's that he's so athletic, he looks like he's slowing down for his competition.
Mm.
And with Keith Lee, he's so big. Keith Lee's such a big motherfucker, and he can fly that it's like, it makes it look just visually like Ricochet is giving everything he possibly can.
Sure.
Because he has to overperform to make up for the size difference.
That I mean, when you described that match to me years ago when you saw it, and I was just like, I need to see these guys. And then I finally saw Keith Lee at Wrestle Circus, and you were not wrong. That guy is amazing. Woo. And his NXT, I don't know if you've seen his NXT debut match. They're going to push this man, dude. They're very excited about what they got in Keith Lee. It's exciting.
Well, you know, he's one of those. He's kind of the reverse Velveteen Dream because he's a little older, you know, and he's not by any means ancient by pro wrestling standards. But it's definitely like if he's got what you want, then get it going now.
Yeah, he needs to get it going now. Yeah, for sure. Also, as a big guy, he is going to slow down a little. Like, he's not going to be able to do the crazy Keith Lee stuff forever. You know, at some point, he's going to have to be a bruiser.
Well, it'll be like Samoa Joe. Which I'll tell you what, maybe that would be a great reason for us to segue into SummerSlam, unless there's anything else on NXT that you wanted to shout out.
No, no. Basically, you're just saying as long as Keith Lee doesn't take a back bump on some stairs, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big title changes. Intercontinental title we talked about. We talked about, well, here, I'll tell you what. Let's get into the Samoa Joe, AJ Styles match. Not a title change, but certainly a setup for what I think pretty much obviously is a Hell in a Cell match coming up in September. What did you think of that match? That was a little controversial, I saw on Twitter and in our Discord.
Did people not like it?
Well,
that's weird to me because I thought the whole thing was really good. And then I guess if anything, some people I think were a little concerned at how many dusty finishes were in this pay-per-view.
It was a fuck finish, not a dusty finish, right?
Well,
it
sure.
Was,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But
and even then, like,
there was not a lot of clean wins in this pay-per-view.
Miz Daniel Bryan was a fuck finish. That was, you know, fuckery came to town and ran for mayor and won, right? In both the Bludgeon Brothers New Day match and AJ Styles Samoa Joe, it was just a DQ finish. So, you know, and generally in pay-per-views, you want to see clean finishes. But I thought
this
more
is the beginning of a feud, right?
Yeah. So in Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. I'm here for a little bit of the criticism in the Bludgeon Brothers one.
Sure.
But for the AJ Styles Samoa Joe thing, maybe I'm just, you know, this is my Florida showing, but like that's just such a Mid-South old country fried wrestling angle where, you know, the big meanie is saying I'm gonna fuck your wife and raise your kids and shit. Like that's just so country, and I am here for every second of it when AJ Styles is just this, like, you know, a CMA. Guy who happens to be an amazing wrestler, right? He's just this Luke Bryan looking motherfucker who would be, you know, just as comfortable up on stage in his flip flops talking about his big old truck and his girl's tight blue jeans as he is in the ring. So I just love all that. I loved him flipping. I love him throwing the, you know, caution to the wind. I thought it was great. But some people were like, too many DQs. Give us a clean win.
Well, whatever. If you look at it, there were still plenty of clean wins for those people. But this to me was awesome storytelling because I love when the wrestlers' real lives come into play. And it almost feels like, oh, man, I can't believe they're going there. Because, you know, what Joe is saying is vile and disgusting and gross and maybe a little bit true, you know?
Well,
and that's why it's great, right?
Well, and that's how much, just give me an estimation by hours, how long AJ Styles' wife had to practice looking stern in the mirror and not laughing. Because you have to, you have to guess that his wife has known Samoa Joe for,
they've known each other for a long time at this
15
point.
15 years at this point, right? From when they both were in TNA.
Yeah. Like the whole thing. And then what was hilarious about it, too, is it just fit the angle perfectly. AJ's got blood coming off his face. He comes over. He's like, give me my baby. And then the baby's like, give me back to mommy.
No.
You're looking
terrified.
A little gross right now, Dad. And, you know, he has to give the baby back. It was so good. Everything about that was so friggin' good. And this is one of the problems I had watching SummerSlam on an iPad with the sound down, is that match and that ending, like, a lot of that isn't about the action. It's about the audio and the, you know, and, like, and it's building to something great. These guys are going to have a bunch of really good matches coming up, and we should all be excited for that, not disappointed about this one, because it was, like, first of all, the action during the 26
minutes. No, it was a good
match.
By
awesome.
The way, they tease the Muscle Buster. Might we see that employed?
Yeah, well, if anyone can take it and not die, it's AJ. So.
I mean, he's pretty much, as soon as the Muscle Buster cripples, what's his butt? Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
I think that was a wrap for everybody. But if it's like, look, if it's AJ Styles, he's like, I've taken the muscle buster a million times. And also, I have to, like, tell everybody to risk their lives to tuck their neck the wrong way on the Styles Clash. Maybe I should take a life-threatening move every once
sure,
in a while.
From time to time. Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought that was fantastic. I think it was definitely, like, to me, maybe one of my favorite matches of the night. And there's a lot to choose from. Like, a lot of people, okay, there was some criticism on Reddit, but I was pleasantly surprised by how much praise there was for a 4-hour long, you know, maybe too long pay-per-view, which is something that a lot of people give WWE crap for. A lot of people were like pretty positive about this one. Maybe there was some satisfaction because we did finally see Roman beat Brock at the end. And so people were just kind of like, okay, that was good. You know?
Let's talk about that.
Sure.
The big dog. Finally ending the longest told story that I've seen in a while.
Daniel Bryan, The Miz, longest told story. They kept telling us
that
was eight
point.
Years in the making.
Well, I like that one. I don't know how fond I've been
sure,
of this one.
That one's been fun all the way through.
This is just one of, and we've talked about this a lot on this show. God damn it, does the WWE, you might not like where they're going with Roman Reigns, but man, do they know how to manipulate a big crowd whenever Roman Reigns is closing a match. Like they've been, I think it's what made WrestleMania so
they
weird.
Do.
Is that they didn't. They didn't do the thing that they've normally done.
They didn't
which
do
is,
anything. Yeah, they just had a match and then he lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they expected that to be the pop, right?
Sure.
So, you know, squinty eyes here in the chat says people weren't happy Roman won. They were happy that Brock lost. I would posit the argument that they were happy that Braun was theoretically next to the ring. That was the only reason why. We got the kind of reaction that we got, and it was brilliant to have them go off the air before what I am sure was a thorough booing by the Barclays crowd. Like, they got the hell, as soon as Roman was up there, it was corner credit, get off the network, cut the feed, because at some point they're going to realize that Braun's not going to
cash
in, and that we're out, and then they're going to boo their heads off, but they were off the air by the time it happened.
I will say you are right. WWE knows how to manipulate this situation whenever Roman Reigns is in a main event. However, I will counter with, is that a good thing that they have to manipulate the situation every time they're putting this guy in the
Look,
main event?
I think that this, they are in a rock and a hard place in terms of figuring out who they are marketing Roman to. This is not a unique thing. They went through the same thing with Cena. The difference now is that Roman's younger, and their roster, I think, is in a different place than it was when Cena was.
I think this is one of the reasons why Roman's having a problem getting over, though, too, is that there's so much damn talent behind him that a lot of people are just thirsty for that talent to shine, right? And like, a lot of people just have a guy that they want to see in Roman's spot. And so it's just frustrating for everybody that Roman's just in that spot over and over and over and over and over again, right? And people just want to see that changed, right? And that's just human nature. Like, people pick a guy and they like that guy and they want to see that guy be the top dog, as it were.
Yeah.
But Roman is just going to be that while he is here and for the foreseeable future. And this is, again, like, why I think there's a lot of relief, at least for me. It's like, okay, great. We've told this story now. We can move on to other things, because I am excited for what Roman does. I just wasn't excited for Roman Brock over and over and over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard not to put that in the main event, right? Roman Brock. Like, how do you
They're the two
say
most famous people.
Bigger? Yeah.
And by the way, when the bloom is off the rose with Ronda Rousey, guess what? She'll still be more famous than almost everybody on that roster.
Sure.
Like, and that's what sells tickets.
This was a short match. There wasn't a lot to say. There were things I expected to happen, right, that didn't happen. I think a lot of people were expecting maybe Paul Heyman to swap allegiances, turn on Brock, pick up Roman, that kind of thing. There was a lot of speculation about what was going to happen. And then Braun cash in. Like, none of that happened. They just had Roman win. They teased a lot of things. We'll see what happens now on Monday Night Raw.
It was a lot of gaga. Yeah. A lot of like, ooh, maybe, will they? No.
They
beat Brock clean.
This whole pay-per-view is like that.
Adios. If this is the last we see of Brock Lesnar, you have served your role well. I look forward to your Hall of Fame speech that lasts 5 seconds.
Sure.
Congratulations.
I look forward to Paul Heyman being there in his stead for his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to stay home and have sex with his wife. Now, I'm definitely tuning in for everything he does in UFC, by the way. And I don't tune in for a lot of UFC.
Nope.
But when Brock's there, I'm watching.
I was there. I went to go see CM Punk fight. I saw the most into UFC I ever was when Brock was fighting.
Yeah.
I'm there for him and Daniel Cormier. I like both those guys. I think they're both interesting.
I'm glad he's not walking in there with the WWE Championship because I get there's a lot of back and forth. People move in between these sports quite a bit. I don't need to like have a bunch of UFC fans like mocking the WWE. Openly at like
it's,
a conference, you know
fine.
What I mean?
It's
unnecessary.
Fine, we're all good here. God bless everyone.
Yeah,
that'll be a cool thing.
Like what you like. It's just we didn't need that. This is better.
This is good. I'm glad Roman's the champion. I'm excited to see him defend it. I think that there's a lot of great matches that will mean more now that he is the champion. And I'm curious to see kind of where it goes, because I do think that there's a big Seth Rollins Roman Reigns match. You know, there's still now, you know, maybe Dare to Dream. There is a Shield triple threat for the title, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's tons of places this can go. Obviously Braun is definitely in the mix because he still has his briefcase. So there's tons of things.
I was
that
having
can
this conversation because, The Buck, a fan of this show and friend to all, called into the Friday Hype Train show that I did and was saying, well, you know, the problem with WWE pushing Roman is that you already have your actual Roman that your crowd's behind in Braun Strowman. But I kind of think Braun's more like The Undertaker in that, yeah, he'll hold the title every once in a while, but he really doesn't need it.
No.
He's just too big, and once the big gigantic monster has the title, either he becomes unlikable, kind of impossible with Braun right now because everybody loves him and these, you know, get these hands, I'm going to eat steaks and crush your head like a grape guy, right?
Sure.
But then beyond that, it's like, okay, so he's the good guy and he's bigger than everybody. Who beats him?
Yeah. Realistically.
Or like, so he has to be stupid. He has to get conned into losing or cheated into losing, right?
And we've already shown that he's not stupid at this point. So I don't think you can suddenly turn him stupid, you know? He's definitely emotional. So I think that's maybe the weakness that you can go for is that, you know, he gets hell-bent on getting you.
Here's what happens when you have a monster that people like that you have to figure out a way to beat. You get shit like Katie Vick. Because you have to make a reason why Kane, the unbeatable big red machine, could be beaten. And it's because he's being manipulated emotionally by Triple H, who's humping a corpse. Like,
I feel like, though, you know, you could also take Braun Strowman like the Andre the Giant route, where he just never loses and is lovable as hell and loves everybody and is nice, but then just destroys people in the ring. Right. Like. There's a lot you could do. Lots of things with this guy. This guy is very versatile.
You can. I think the problem is that I don't know if he needs the title to do it. It's why I was kind of assuming that he was going to lose
Andre
that money in
the
bank briefcase.
You know,
just because I think Kevin Owens is like, if Kevin Owens retires from the WWE without a Money in the Bank run, it will be a tremendous waste of an opportunity. Because
he needs
just
that
built
thing,
for
man.
It. Like, just so he can play mind games and be smarter than the other person, like, and just be a snide shithead. Like, that's his thing.
I want him to have the most fake cash-ins of anybody in the history of the WWE, right?
Yeah.
Like just constantly like, I'm going to cash it in. Nope. No. The timing's not perfect yet. It's like I just said, he needs it. He doesn't need it. It needs him, right?
Yes,
like,
sure.
That briefcase needs Kevin Owens. All right, we got to talk real. We're getting close to running out of time here. We got to talk about Jeff Hardy taking a friggin' bump on the apron, which, as we all know, is the hardest part of the ring against Shinsuke.
By the way, that match was really good, too.
It was really good. Yeah. There was a lot going on in that match, and I expected it to be very short and get Jeff Hardy out of here so that he can go rest up. That is not what happened. He did all his stuff.
All of it. Including
all his shit in and more.
Yeah. You know, he's a lunatic. What are you going to say? He's an actual crazy person. It's not an act. I don't know whether or not he has just done so many opiates that it's just part of his bloodstream and he feels pain differently than other people.
Sure.
But that guy doesn't do the Swanton at house shows anymore because it hurts him so much. He apparently is saving up the last few that he has and he's using them in the most insane possible ways. Just great. And also, this is the most fun I've had with Shinsuke in any WWE capacity, including NXT.
I love evil dick punching Shinsuke. I said it in the Discord. I'll say it again. When he leaves WWE, I need a Joey Ryan feud where he goes for the dick punch and like breaks his arm. We need it so badly. So here's the thing about that. Like, I'm imagining Jeff Hardy telling Shinsuke in the back, here's the deal. I'm going to Swanton bomb onto the apron and you are going to get out of the way. And Shinsuke just saying like, what? No, like we don't have to do that. And just being like, no, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't imagine the conversations that were had around this where everyone is like, Jeff, your back is killing you. You don't got to do this to get out of it. Like we could just come in. I could dick punch you once. You could lay down and it could be it. But he's like, no. I need to Swanton bomb on the apron. And it's just, oh man, it was physically painful for me to watch it. Like it made my back start to hurt.
It was the only time that both in the Discord, on Twitter, and I was watching it with Gabe, universally was like, didn't need it. Can we all sign a card, like a please stop it card to Jeff to be like, we want to see you go for another couple years.
Yeah. Like we want to see you live a healthy life after this.
Like, we want the world for you, my friend. You do not need to do. Nobody's like, meh, it was good, but he caught a swanton onto the edge of the ring.
Okay. Now, you always seem to have the good hot take on things that make no sense to me and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Please tell me what the hell the Randy Orton thing was trying to do. Because he literally comes out, walks to the ring. Jeff Hardy is laying there clearly in pain and open for attack. He just turns around and walks to the back.
There is a line from a Dave Attell stand-up where he talks about how there's never any terrorist attacks at bus stations. Because a terrorist would walk into a bus station and say, man, someone already did this, bitch. That's what I assumed Randy Orton's inner monologue was when he walks out and sees crippled Jeff Hardy in the ring to be like, it would be more work to make him stand up so I could RKO him. It's fine.
No, I've had enough of this. It was just a lot of people. There's been some confusion over exactly what they were trying to set up. Shinsuke ran away, so I assume we're seeing Orton Shinsuke happening now.
I mean, the feud has been tilting toward Jeff Randy.
Yeah, exactly, because that's the person that's been attacked by Randy, and you assumed, I think at first, that Orton was coming on. This was some sort of a face turn where he was going to help Jeff Hardy, and then he didn't.
Yeah.
So I wonder, though, if they're going for a heel versus heel, who's a bigger asshole type of feud, which I would be up for because they can't really do Hardy right now. So I will
say this. The heel versus heel, who's the bigger asshole, might be the feud for the women's title on SmackDown.
Oh, there you go.
Becky Lynch turns heel?
Yeah, tries to.
Well, here's the thing.
You deserve it.
In the story they're telling, now maybe they have gotten the story they're telling, you know, cross purposes, and I'm reading it wrong, but the story they're telling is Becky Lynch finally got her opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Finally gets on the big stage, a one-on-one match against an opponent that she feels confident against. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Here we go. Then her big famous friend, big Charlotte Flair, comes in, gets herself inserted into the match at the 11th hour, and then not only wins, but wins because she is able to natural selection Becky Lynch, not Carmella, is able to natural selection Becky Lynch before Carmella is tapping out. And then pins Becky Lynch. So, yes, she's a heel, I guess, but really, there's a lot of sympathy for her actions. Who hasn't felt like they're the Robin to the Batman that keeps hogging all the glory, and that even when you have your one moment, they find a way to come in and steal your spotlight? Like, that's sympathetic shit.
I think every time she goes to the ring, everybody wants her to win at this point. And she doesn't, and she doesn't, and she doesn't. And people are getting so tired of it that even when they tried to turn her heel, it didn't work, man. It just didn't work. And, you know, and maybe they weren't necessarily trying to turn her heel, but maybe they were just trying to show that, essentially, like, she's had enough.
I think that to me is how I read it. I watched it and I'm like, no, she hit her breaking point, and now it's no more Mr. Nice Becky, and this is a new Becky, but she's not, you know, she's not kicking, she's not doing heel stuff. She's just like, hey, you want to know what? You had a killer instinct that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to attack you, but you felt perfectly fine natural selectioning me while my back was turned and I was having my big moment. And so I need that. I need to stop being the doormat.
I just think that people, wrestling fans, look at everything in terms of heel face so much that anytime you do anything heelish, it must be a turn, right? Like, think of Sami Zayn when he had enough, right? Insta heel turn, suddenly he's mocking the crowd and everything like that. So that's the way people look at it. But I think you're right. I think there can be subtlety to it, right? Where you can still be face and yet use these types of tactics.
Yeah, or you are heel, but you're a borderline heel. If we're going to look at the Kinsey scale of heel face, I think that she's a tweener.
Yes,
by the very definition.
Yeah.
All right.
There's really nothing else that stands out to me outside of Ronda Rousey that we haven't really talked about, which I thought was
great,
just fun and awesome. And I'm glad to see her with the title. It was like, how long do they keep her off of it? How long do they? Because she just clearly looks dominating compared to everybody she's fighting. So, yeah, she should be the champ, right? I was sad to see Alexa get abused like that because I love me some Alexa. But
I'm
by the
happy
way, cue my Alexa turning on and asking me something right now.
I think that there's a very, very, very good thing here in that Ronda Rousey's athleticism fundamentally reshapes that division.
Yeah.
Because now, before you could get away with saying, well, Alexa's a good wrestler, but she's also, you know, a conniving little shithead, and she's going to get away with stuff. I think everybody now has to step up and credibly wrestle physically as Ronda Rousey was. And it makes sense why Nia Jax was her first singles match, because she's giving up that much size that it makes it a little bit more sense that the match goes as long as it is. But if she's ripping through Alexa, then that means people that are super athletes like Ember Moon and Sasha and Bayley, like now
and
they've
Charlotte
gotta,
and yeah. And Asuka and
like now they have to wrestle at a more intense style to match it. Which I think is really good and welcoming, I think, for everybody who enjoys women's wrestling.
Now, I will say one thing that I do want to see Ronda get is an impact finisher, because as much as I do like the armbar and it's, you know, and it looks pretty brutal. I know some people were saying stuff like, oh, she's bending at the the way it's supposed to be. I'm like, no, did you actually see what she was doing? She was,
yeah.
They used Alexa's double jointedness there because she's done that in the past, right?
Yeah.
Like twisted her arm the wrong way to fake people out and stuff like that. They used that to make it look even worse than it really is, which it's a, I mean, she won a lot of UFC fights with that, right? I mean, that's
no, that's her famous finisher.
Yeah.
Like so in real life.
I also want to see her because her throws look badass.
Oh, my
so
God.
Impactful. Yeah. So I wouldn't mind seeing she was ragdolling Bliss a few times there and it looked pretty brutal. So I want to see her have multiple finishers and stuff. Like I think she's got the potential to just be super well-rounded and just be able to do anything in the ring. She's fantastic. She's taking to wrestling. Instantly.
I am so glad, cross my heart, that she is good. Because, God damn it, I could not stand Reddit if she were bad and they pushed her to the moon. It's just
yeah, not just because we're rooting for her and, you know, we're marks for Ronda Rousey. She's just actually good.
I'm just, so, I mean, I just, that I don't have to read the 50,000th post about how they need to be pushing Sasha because
sure.
Ronda's garbage and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
They're all good.
It's clearly good. Not. Everyone's on board and it's great. I mean, there you go. So 13 matches, 6 total hours, including the pre-show. We had, essentially four hours of NXT Brooklyn because of the hour-long pre-show there as well. So 10 hours of wrestling
Woo!
This weekend. That's a lot, man. Woo!
Oh, my God. All right. Before we wrap up, there is an announcement that I have to make and we are making for the
sure.
show. So, you know, speaking about turning heel.
yeah, this is... This is your heel turn.
This is my heel turn. I am going to be stepping back from the show, and the show is going to be a little in flux over the next few weeks. This is a really difficult decision and one that I haven't made lightly. Just for the end of, specifically through the end of the year, I just need to kind of, well, focus on some things that I haven't focused on and that I've kind of left languishing. So, you know, I talked to Willie and it has nothing to do with the show or us. Everybody's still really cool. I'm still going to be a part of the show, you know, after pay-per-views. But for the near future, for sure, I'm not going to be the weekly presence on this show that I've been since the beginning. I don't really know what's there to say past that, other than this has been the most fun that I've ever had with wrestling, like
yeah.
hanging out with everybody in the Discord.
So I do want to say like. The reasoning makes total sense because this is not a show that you can just show up for and spend the hour on. You got to watch, like we just said, 10 hours of wrestling and
yeah.
then think about it, analyze it, bubble, you know, and then also on a wrestling show, you feel like you need to keep up with New Japan and Ring of Honor and NXT and
being
PWG
the elite
and all of the independents
yeah,
and everything going on.
Yeah, 14 wrestler YouTube series. Like,
sure. There's just so much to digest and talk about every single week that it's a tough show to commit that to unless you're already just voluntarily committing that much time to watching wrestling, right? And so, you know, I find I have a hard time digesting all of it too. So it's like it didn't surprise me at all when you were like, yeah, I got some other stuff I need to take care of. So basically, like, my hope is all that stuff feels taken care of to you pretty soon, and you feel like wrestling isn't, you know, stopping you from getting shit done anymore.
Yeah.
And we can just get back to this at some point. But I like the idea of, because, you know, our Patreon is just per show,
yep.
we could just move it. Like, if it doesn't work out that we have a suitable new co-host to do weekly type things, we just do once a month, me and you still, right? So
Absolutely.
We'll see where it kind of goes. There's a couple of ideas and things and we'll see how those work out, but I don't want to bring if I keep doing it weekly with somebody else, I don't want to bring you guys a shittier version of this.
Yeah.
Right. So that will not happen. If something like that continues and we do it, still on a weekly basis, we'll make sure that it's still really good, because I want to have fun talking wrestling. I don't want to like be trying to carry something that I can't carry by myself. Right. So
100%.
That being said, you know, this is not necessarily like, oh, the show's over.
No,
it's just, we gotta temper some things right now so Jerry can do some other shit.
Yeah.
And that's totally cool.
And that's it. All right, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to end the show before I get emotional, but, that wraps it up for this. Willie, what you got going on?
Just streaming the Stone, man. So check me out, twitch.tv/WillieDills. And then of course, the Angry Chicken.
If you have dropped out of Hearthstone, now's the time to not only get back into it, but I would highly recommend going back and listening to the most recent Angry Chicken episode. Mm. And I'm sure the one that you guys are going to do tomorrow will be more of the same, because this new meta after the expansion is so weird and so fun, and just opens up different neural pathways than Hearthstone, I feel like, has in maybe a year and a half. Like,
yeah, dropped about 12 to 15 decks on everybody last week that are some pretty close to their older versions, but a lot completely new and different and crazy.
But
and right now is some of the most fun I've been having playing Hearthstone. Even if I play an on-meta deck, I'm having a blast, because the on-meta decks are super interesting and complex. The board states are crazy. It's like Hearthstone has just been like turned up. Hey, Iggy's excited about it too.
Yeah.
Hearthstone has been turned up to 11 recently. It's nuts out there. So definitely.
So go ahead and watch twitch.tv/WillieDills and listen to the Angry Chicken. You can find me twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. But until next time, friends, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young. For Willie Dills Gregory, this is 1-900 Wrestling.
For 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number, 1-900
Wrestling.
Be dialing.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God, Donald Trump.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.